Can you hear me over there? It's all right. Okay. Yeah. I think what Trevor shared this morning, and then along with the worship led by Deborah, I think that ties in very nicely to what I'm going to share. So Trevor talked about thriving and not just surviving. So what I had in mind to share was basically going to share a couple of thoughts from mainly three scriptures I've been kind of reflecting on, and we'll just allow the Lord to speak to us and see if there's anything that would strike you in there. But I think in a way these scriptures tie into a very real human desire in all of us for flourishing. And the first scripture I'm going to start with is actually the one that, not John 1, but John 10:10, that Trevor had just mentioned. Here in John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That's in the New King James. The Amplified Version says, "I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." That's in the Amplified Version. In the New Living Translation, it says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So, given the year we've been through, what does abundant life look like? I think this is a question we can all be asking the Lord, but it's a question for you to take away and ask the Lord, what does abundant life look like for me in this strange year that we've had? If God's purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life, am I enjoying the richness so far? Am I enjoying the satisfaction? If he describes this life as an overflow, as abundant, how much am I enjoying it? So these are some of the thoughts I myself have been wrestling with. I think Elizabeth's talk a few weeks ago, I think we were on Zoom, we were meeting on Zoom, and Elizabeth went through a whole list of D's. How many of you remember that talk? She mentioned a whole list of D's that I could relate to, you know, some of which is discouragement, depression, deflation, and I'm just like, this so aptly describes this whole season. I mean, the last few months that we've had with this COVID-19 drama, it's been like a, to be honest, it's been like a never-ending dreadful film that you wish. You've been to the cinema, watch a film, and you're like, is it over yet? Can I get out now? It's awful. And I think a part of me has just been waiting for this dreadful film to be over so I can get on with my life. I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but it's almost like, God, it's just been awful. I can't deal with any more bad news or numbers or R factor or whatever that means. And yet John 10:10 says God's purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life. So I've really been asking the Lord, how real can this be in this year that we've had? Or is it just spiritual talk? Surely it can't just be spiritual talk. So am I flourishing and living this life, or am I just getting by, surviving, and waiting for it all to be over? It's a couple of thoughts there for us to think about. The next scripture I want to take us to is actually in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 verse 3. Psalm 1 talks about, it gives us the metaphor of how blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then verse 3 describes and gives us the metaphor of a tree that's being planted by the streams of living water, that yields its fruit in its season, that whatever he does prosper. So I love it how it's written in the Passion Translation. So I'm going to read Psalm 1 verse 3 from the Passion. It says here, "He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, it, ever prosperous." Wow. I'm going to read that again. There's just so much in there that I'm just like, when I read that, I don't know about you, as you listen to it, there's so much of my heart's desire that cries out, "Lord, that is what I want." But none of this year that I've gone through has felt anything close to any of those adjectives. I'm going to paraphrase it with you. So if it helps you to hear it with your eyes closed, just receive this, almost like God pronouncing it over you. "You will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of your life. You are never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, it, ever prosperous." Wow. I think this is God's desire for us, guys. This is God's heart for us. It's not just spiritual talk. Otherwise, the Bible will not paint such a vivid picture, you know, of what such a life looks like. And this tree that it describes is planted by the riverbank, and it describes it as bearing fruit in every season. So it almost gives you a sense that you know, people are drawn to it. I mean, when you see a tree full of fruit, you tend to pick. You know, it's a tree that provides food. It's a tree that provides shelter. People come and sit under, like this tree right behind us here. This reminds me of the tree of life, almost mentioned in Revelation 22, when it talks about the river of life. We're not going to go there specifically, so you don't have to turn to it. But this tree of life also describes it as, the Bible describes it as yielding fruit each month with its leaves for the healing of the nations. The Bible is full of metaphors. And I would say that the metaphor of a tree describes the human life. It's a biblical picture for the human life. Another scripture, you don't have to turn to it, but I will allude to, is in Psalm 92, where it talks about how the righteous will flourish like a palm tree planted in the courts of the Lord. And it says here, "They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age." How many of us will like that? You still bear fruit in old age. You're ever full of sap, ever full of green. But the Bible describes a man's life, that he is blessed if he is such a tree. So the tree is a metaphor for the human life. I believe it's God's desire for each of us. It's God's heart for each of us to be flourishing like such a tree, whether we've had a COVID year or not. It's God's desire that we provide food, we bear fruit, we provide food, provide shelter, which I liken it to mean life and hope, that we offer life and hope to those who need it. See, I've had some unexpected encounters this summer. So as most of you know, I started a new job at All Nations Christian College in the middle of the lockdown. And then over the summer in June, I ran a 2-week online prayer course and training people in prayer. And then actually I've had one student who, after the course, she prayed and she felt like, "I want to stay on for a year at All Nations and work with Lynn. Lynn, can I be mentored by you?" And I'm just like, I've had an awful year. I don't feel like I've got anything to give. I felt dry and barren. In most, you know, like all my trips have been canceled, all my plans have been thwarted. Like, what have I got to offer, really? But so I was very surprised. But we're now working in the process of this girl. I just drafted out her job description this week, and we're waiting for the college leadership to approve it. But God's bringing alongside someone who says, I want to hang around you and I want to work with you. That completely took me by surprise. And then some of you know that I have also registered with the St. Albans Diocese as a spiritual director. It's been the process the whole last year, taken many months of jumping through hoops. They've never offered me anybody. And then in the last few weeks of me working from home, feeling dry, feeling like I'm withering over the summer, suddenly they're like, here I have this lady who's looking for a spiritual director who lives in Bedford. We had a great first conversation on Zoom, but it looks like a great relationship that's about to start. And I'm like, this is so unexpected. God is bringing people in a season where I don't feel, some days I don't even feel like meeting people. I feel like I'm just barely surviving. If I survive the summer of working from home, staying at home, no travels, I'd be all right. But God is bringing people. And just this past week, I had a friend text me from Manchester saying he has a friend who lives in Harpenden who's not a believer, but she's probably seeking the Lord. So this week, with the weekly video that Trevor sent and John sharing his view of who Jesus is to him, I thought it would be great for her to hear this. So actually, what you said, I've already done it. Really? I forwarded on and I've said, we're meeting outdoors on the common if she wants to join us, you know, this Sunday. I haven't heard from her yet. But I think through these unexpected encounters, I'm beginning to see that in spite of how awful I've been feeling or how I feel like I haven't been bearing fruit lately, God is bringing people who need food from that tree, who need shelter, even if I feel like I haven't got any to give. But this is God's desire for each of us, I believe. So a couple of questions for us to take away, worth to think about, is what is the condition of your tree? And who are some of the people in your life who are needing fruit or shelter from your tree? Just a couple of thoughts for us to think about before I go on to the third scripture. And in the third scripture, I have a bit of a show and tell. So, for the sake of the recording, I am passing out a punnet of grapes. I'm going to pass this round and ask if you don't eat it. Okay, don't eat it. It's show and tell first. But if you pick a couple of grapes with a twig, if possible. For faster. I'm going to pass this around this way. Pass this around this way. If you pick one or two grapes with some twigs, yeah, that you can feel it.
How can you be sure, John?
Thank you, my lord.
Don't eat it yet. It's for the sake of this next part, don't eat it yet. Just hold it in your hand, and hopefully you get some twigs as well, not just the fruit. Break off some of the twig.
What? Sorry, I've done it wrong. I'm sitting with them in my hand.
That's okay.
There's always one, isn't there?
There's always one who disrupts the system. I know, sorry.
It's usually me, James.
Need some twigs.
Right.
We'll pass around the grapes.
Are you taking more than the two, though, Trevor? That's
it's not fair.
Anyone need some more? I need some twigs. Twigs.
I'll have a twig on there. Big twig, like a whole twig.
Give you some twig without any grape.
Okay. If you haven't already guessed it, that scripture I'm going to introduce us to is John 15. But we all know that scripture, well known, the vine, connection to the vine. I don't want us to read it from the Bible. I want us to engage with it through our senses. So look at the grapes in your hand. Feel it. Touch it.
Jen a bit, but I think there's a very real human desire.
Thank you, forgot about that. There's a very real human desire in all of us for fruitfulness, for connection, for flourishing. And then John 15 talks about the vine, but the vine dresser who is also pruning. Maybe some of us have felt the effects of pruning this year, and some of us are grieving losses. People have lost jobs. People have missed out on milestone celebrations with their family due to the lockdown. Children or university students have had their whole upheaval and mix up, and some have missed their graduation. I mean, there are a lot of losses that people are grieving this year. Personally, I have felt the pruning when all my travels have been cut. Like for me, since I have no family in this country and I'm here as a missionary, but my travels every month, that has almost been like a lifeline, because it's like I'm meeting my global family, meeting networks I've invested in. That's almost like a lifeline that was life-giving for me. But having that cut back, I'm grieving the losses. You know, staying home all summer, not having any family to visit, but pulling my thumbs at home, that's been a loss I'm grieving. Yeah, so I'm going to read John 15, but as I read it, I want to invite us to engage your imagination in the story. You can imagine yourself as a grape. You can imagine yourself as part of the vine. But we've often read it and maybe engage with it mentally. But I would like us to, just in a tactile manner, hold a grape, feel the twigs, feel what it means to be connected. And as I read it, maybe just listen to it, close your eyes. And after the reading, maybe we'll spend a couple of moments in silence and we just allow the Lord to speak to you. And yeah, to speak to us about reconnecting with our desire for flourishing, reconnecting with our desire for fruitfulness, reconnecting with our desire for connection. I think for most part of the year, I've just glazed over it emotionally, saying if I survive this, once the drama is over, maybe then I will start to flourish. But I think in the middle of it all, God's desire and heart for us is still for us to feel His life, be connected with His life. So I just want to open this space for us to receive from the Lord. Yeah. So I'm going to read John 15. Out of the message. If you close your eyes and engage your imagination, enter into the story with me. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, He prunes back, so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who He is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in His love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. We're going to take a few minutes in silence and just wait on the Lord. And you can just receive from the Lord, and then I'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you that it is your heart for us to flourish. It is your desire for us to be fruit-bearing. It's also very much our human desire for flourishing, fruitfulness, and connection. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you are divine, the true source of life. We say, we reawaken in us that desire to really connect with you so that we can continue to flourish in spite of whatever goes on in our external circumstances, new restrictions or not. We trust you, God. You are our life source. We thank you for the people you've put in our lives, those who need food and shelter from our tree. We pray that you would open our eyes to see them, that we may offer life and hope to all. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the way we can be deeply connected to you, and we trust you for the fruit that will come out of our lives this year. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.